You know, our theme this month is that Christ has come, but we have a whole month to get to that, so let's not think about that quite yet. We want to spend just a few moments today thinking about preparing for Jesus' birth. Now, in my experience, with the first child on the way, Isaiah, with him getting ready to be born, there's a lot to prepare for, right? A lot to think through, a lot to consider. There's, you know, do you choose cloth diapers, or do you go disposables, or do you do a combination of both? You have this box furniture to assemble, right? Anyone ever done that? Good times. You load it in your car if it fits, and then you bring it home and then spend hours trying to figure it out. Then you read the instructions, and you realize it was pretty easy after all, right? There's a lot of things to consider. There was a car seat to buy, and you got to figure out how it works, and did you put it in the right way so in case you're driving it not very good, your kid doesn't get hurt. A lot of things to consider. A lot of anxiety that comes along with a first child. Now, our second one's on the way, coming in March, and you know what? I got this feeling like we've done this before, you know? We already know the drill. There's a lot to consider, but we've done this before. And the same thing kind of happens with me, at least, and I think all of us at Christmas time. You know, we've already done this before. We braved Black Friday in years past. We've hung up the lights. We've seen the place all decked out. We've bought the presents, and we've done this before. And it's really easy to skip past the significance of Christmas. So we want to consider today, what is it that we don't want to forget? We can't forget to reflect on what Jesus came to do. So I was thinking this week a little bit about what he came to do, and there are obviously many things that Jesus came to do, but a few of them. Out of John 1, he came to take away our sins. Out of Galatians 3, he came to redeem us from the curse of the law and give us his Holy Spirit. Luke 19, he came to seek and save the lost. Luke 4, he came to release the captives, and he came to heal the brokenhearted from Isaiah 61. He came to give life, John 10. He came to serve, out of Mark 10. John 14 says that he came to show us the Father. And throughout John, he came to shine a light in the darkness. So what is it that we need to do as people and as a congregation to prepare this year? What do we need Jesus to enter into, to shine a light on? Maybe it's shining a light in a broken relationship, something that has not been working recently. Maybe you need forgiveness. He came to forgive your sins, and you need forgiveness. Or maybe you need his help to forgive others as he forgave you. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you need to know the freedom that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. Maybe you just need to remember that he has redeemed you and that you are his. So in just a few moments, we want to give you the chance to turn to your neighbor and pray, to share one thing that you want Jesus to enter into this season in preparation. He said in John 14, "I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You will ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Now, when we pray in Jesus' name, it's not a magical in Jesus' name that we add to the end of our prayer, but in his name represents who he is, what he's about, and his authority. And when we pray in his name, it's always about his glory, always about his glory. Recently, I decided that I wanted to ask God for a vacuum. See, ours was not working very well, and my wife was getting a little irritated using it week after week. And so I decided, hey, you know what? I'm just going to ask God for a new vacuum, see what he does with this. So I asked him over a course of a few days for a new vacuum. And when we come to him in honesty and sincerity, he'll respond to us. He will respond to us, and we got to be ready for that. And he told me very clearly, "Aaron, you do it." So I prayed again. I said, "God, no, I'd like a new vacuum for my wife." And the response was very clear: "You do it." And so I asked for a new vacuum, and God decided to give a new vacuumer to my wife. For whatever reason, in this case, getting a new vacuum was not going to bring glory to him. I'm not sure why. I wish it would have, but that was not the case. But what was going to give him glory was an obedient husband to the Father, an obedient husband to Jesus, serving his wife out of love. So 4 weeks into it, I'm vacuuming, and turns out a couple of things could be fixed with just a rubber band and a couple drywall screws, so now we're good to go. And for all you men out there, don't be worried. That's just the answer that God gave me. He'll probably likely give you a different answer, but we've got to pay attention. When we come to him, though, we've got to be ready to respond. We've got to be ready for God to respond. We need to listen and obey. The answer might not be what we are expecting, but it will be for his glory. So we're going to give you just a couple moments as we prepare this season to come to him in humility, even repentance and seeking him, to just invite him to be a part of this season, invite him into the brokenness, invite him to heal. Give him permission to work in you this season, to shine a light in those dark places. So I just want to give you 2 or 3 minutes, just with the person next to you. No need to form large groups or anything. Just with the person next to you, and just share, if you're willing, one thing you want to invite Jesus into this season. And just take a minute to pray for each other. And then we'll continue on in worship.
You know, our God is a rescuing God. He rescues. It's what he does. It's who he is. It's who he wants to be known for as a rescuing God. Moses knew it. Thousands of years ago, Moses knew that the Savior we serve today is a rescuing God. Exodus chapter 3, verse 8, the Lord said, "So I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." The Lord spoke in kind of a thousand-year realm, a multiple thousand-year realm. He said, "Moses, I'm going to rescue them today so that in one day, thousands of years from now, they will inhabit a land flowing with milk and honey." Still hasn't been done yet. Because our God is still a rescuing God. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, right? The three friends that came out of Judah, they knew the Lord was a rescuing God. It was ingrained in their hearts so that when trial came, when a desperate situation, a life-changing situation walked into their world, they said this, Daniel chapter 3, verse 7, to King Nebuchadnezzar, "If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us." We serve a God who rescues. He rescued a 17-year-old struggling young man. I was lost. I was wayward. I had no idea what direction I was going to go in my life. I had no idea where my life was leading. And January 17th of 1987, he rescued me when I placed my faith and trust in his son. See, ancient Israel had to continually offer sacrifices for thousands of years. I don't think we get the weight of that. Even in America here, we've been around for 200, 220, 230 years. For thousands of years, the Israelites had a high priest who would regularly offer sacrifices in the temple, in the tabernacle and in the temple. Indiana Jones, the Ark of the Covenant, right? You remember that, the Ark of the Covenant. It was in the Holy of Holies, and once a year the high priest would shed the blood of a bull, and they would sprinkle that blood over the Ark of the Covenant. Jesus Christ came to solve that problem. That's why this happened, all of it. That Jesus Christ no longer has to be sacrificed. He offered his life once for all people, for Brian, for you, for all of us, that in believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, by trusting in that, we would have eternal life. This morning we're celebrating, we're remembering the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Any person who trusts in him is made holy. And so we celebrate that as believers, as Christ followers. We take time out to remember his body, to remember his blood, to remember the sacrifice that was given for us. I'm going to ask the servers if they'd come forward at this time this morning. While they're coming forward, I'd ask you to bow your head, to patiently and privately pray to the Lord. Thank him for saving your soul. Thank him for the body. Thank him for his cup. If you don't know Christ as Savior, our invitation this morning is to let the cup and the plate go by. If what I'm saying doesn't make sense and you're not sure what that means, That was how I was before I trusted Christ as Savior. I didn't know. I didn't understand what the Bible talked about in relation to the bread and the cup. So if you haven't trusted Christ, just let it go by. We're not here to judge anybody. We're just here to celebrate what the Savior has done for us. If you don't know Christ as Savior, after the service, if you please come and talk to me. I'd be happy to explain what the Bible says about that in relation to this bread and this cup. Let's pray now. Our Father, we are thankful for being able to remember the sacrifice of your Son, for being able to remember that things have changed, things have dramatically changed, and you have rescued us. Lord, we ask that this morning our hearts be tender, and that, Father, we'd be humbled as we remember the sacrifice your Son paid for our sin. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. The Bible clearly says, in Hebrews chapter 10, which is an outstanding chapter, that Jesus Christ, after he resurrected, was seated at the right hand of the Father, that he was finished with his salvation work, and that he's done. Today, this very day, he sits at the Father's right hand making intercession for us, hearing our prayers as those who love him and follow him, and passing them on to the Father. That's his role today. That's what he loves to do for you and I. As our rescuer, now he is also our intercessor. Yet God knows that we are still weak, that we're sinners. And although we've been born again, none of us is perfect. And so he extends his rescuing ability, his rescuing power, by not only providing Jesus Christ when he was born and when he died on the cross, and when he was raised from the grave, but also by giving us his indwelling Holy Spirit. And it is in that we are so thankful, to enable us to love him, to please him, to worship him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." 1 Thessalonians 1:10, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." And 1 Timothy 4:18, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." We're going to partake now in the cup, remembering the blood of Jesus Christ that was spilt for us.